This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. It's less than 24 hours before the Federal Reserve Board announces what is expected to be another cut in interest rates. Policymakers began meeting today in the first day of a two-day gathering that analysts are certain will end with the Fed cutting the bellwether federal funds rate. The only disagreement on Wall Street seems to be how aggressive the Fed will move in lowering the rates. Policymakers will announce their decision tomorrow at 2:15 Eastern Time. President Bush met Pakistan's president at Camp David today. They discussed cooperation on combating terrorism and tensions in the South Asia region. Steve Mort has more.
President Musharraf's invitation to Camp David clearly shows the importance President Bush attaches to the U.S. relationship with Islamabad and its role in Afghanistan.
Both the United States and Pakistan are threatened by global terror, and we're determined to defeat it.
Mr. Bush also reiterated Washington's desire for improved relations between Pakistan and India over Kashmir, and the two leaders agreed on a trade and investment framework paving the way for a possible free trade agreement. Agreement, too, on an economic and military assistance package, but not the sale of F-16 fighter jets, as Mr. Musharraf had hoped. President Bush also urged the Pakistani leader, who came to power in a military coup in 1999, to continue work towards democracy. Steve Mort, Washington.
Testimony continued today in the Windshield murder trial in Fort Worth, Texas.
Shante Mallard is accused of hitting Gregory Biggs with her vehicle and then driving home and parking her car in her garage with a victim still lodged in the windshield. Most of the testimony today dealt with crime scene investigators and with forensic experts describing the physical evidence discovered in Mallard's vehicle and the fact that Biggs would have survived if given proper medical treatment. This is John Clemens reporting.
More in a moment.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
But, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby.
What are you doing?
Taking it off! I'm using your head in a rear-facing infant seat.
Why?
To show how babies up front are in airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the trunk.
And where are we going, Vince?
Yeah, you know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Holy cow, Larry, you're embedded in the seat.
Tire iron.
I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Stocks finished mixed in a day of lackluster trading. Trading volume was moderate, with investors catching their breath after stocks took a drubbing yesterday, and Wall Street awaiting word from the Federal Reserve on tomorrow's decision on interest rates. The markets got a boost early this morning after a gauge on consumer confidence came out better than expected. That news helped retailers, with Dow stock Walmart gaining almost 2%, but tech issues were hit by negative brokerage calls on Cisco and Juniper Networks. More after this.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
America's fleet of space shuttles could fly again in as little as 6 months. That's the word from the head of the Columbia Accident Investigation Board. The board's final recommendations will be released next month. They would call for putting the three remaining shuttles back in space either late this year or early in 2004. An undiagnosed heart defect could increase the risk of a stroke in nearly a third of adults if they become victim to what's been nicknamed economy class syndrome or deep vein thrombosis. USA Today reports researchers say the small opening between the heart's chambers provides a passageway for blood clots from the right side of the heart to arteries leading to the brain. It's almost hard to believe, but 20 years ago today, the dot-com was born. The idea came from a computer science professor at USC who took the numerical codes used for Internet addresses to create the famous system. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening. Almost said it again. Truth Seekers, welcome to the program. Thanks very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. 800-825-5937. You can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. And if you're joining us through the usual street gangs of slap-together programming to hear this show, welcome. Whether it's IE America Radio Network, Sirius Satellite 145, RadioPower.org, White Rose Society, A Partridge in a Pear Tree. Hey, lots of rummy sound for you tonight about Weaponsgate and Syria and U.S. control of U.S. oil that happens to be in Iraq. And tomorrow, Dennis Kucinich will join us on the program. What time tomorrow? Second hour, Kathy? For this first gig with Kucinich, he's only going to be here for 30 minutes. I don't know if we'll be able to take any questions, but tune in anyway. Did you vote today in the MoveOn.org primary? I did. I guess we'll get the results tomorrow. If you haven't, go to MoveOn.org, get registered. You still have about a little under 3 hours you can vote in the online primary. And as the show progresses tonight, you know, I've noticed an absolute dearth of monkeys clawing, trying to get onto the program. Any of you right-wingers who think you can put together a coherent sentence or dial a phone, well, all right, you can have somebody dial the phone for you. We certainly welcome your phone call. God, I hate Republicans. Ah! Speaking of Republicans, did you see who Bush has chosen for the EPA job that the hapless Christy Whitman is leaving? Did you see this? It's just astonishing. It's very much in keeping. It's the Bush form. It's in keeping with Bush crime family practices, but Idaho Governor Dirk Kempthorne. Now, this is supposed to be off the record. Nobody will speak for attribution in Washington because they're afraid that, a couple of Bush thugs will come visit them at 3 o'clock in the morning and do their kneecaps. But here's a guy, Idaho Governor Dirk Kempthorne has cut his state's environmental budget three times. reduced enforcement environmental regulations in the state of Idaho. Well, naturally, this is a guy that you want to head Bush's EPA. 4.5-year tenure as governor, Idaho's, this is according to the Knight Ridder newspapers, Idaho's pristine air has gotten dirtier, more rivers have been polluted, fewer polluters have been inspected, more toxins have contaminated the air, water, and land, according to a Knight Ridder analysis of Idaho pollution data from EPA and state records. So obviously, this is a perfect Bush appointee to head the EPA. This is a guy who has just puked and crapped all over his own state. Now, there is no more Republican legislature than the one in Idaho. You know what I wish sometimes? This is when I'm in my darkest moments, right? I just wish the entire population of a state that considers himself Bush supporters and loves these kind of Republicans all of a sudden would start coughing. And somebody said, get a drink of water, and they would turn on the tap, and sludge would come out. And they'd say, quick, take him outside. You need some fresh air. Go outside, and the air is brown. And they would keep coughing until they started coughing up blood, a brown phlegm, and then their lungs. And that this would happen to everybody in the state, the top to bottom, from the oldest to the little innocent newborn babies. Everybody in the state would just choke to death. Maybe that would get someone's attention, huh? Eh? So here's Dirk Kempthorne, governor of Idaho, who has utterly and absolutely, according to Knight Ridder analysis, destroyed Idaho. He's destroyed it. One well-placed Washington business leader told Knight Ridder yesterday, we're hearing a constant drumbeat of support for Kempthorne. Yes, we are. A top aide to one Democratic senator with strong connections to environmentalists added, we're anticipating it to be Kempthorne. Now, both of these people, and this is the part I like about the Bush mafia. I'm sorry, all you good mafia members out there, I'm sorry. They both spoke on condition of anonymity to avoid retribution from the Bush administration. Kempthorne has cut Idaho's environmental services budget 3 times in the past 2 years. A court order this year is forcing the state of Idaho to increase monitoring and cleansing of polluted waterways. I hope you people in Idaho... Oh, gosh, wait a minute. Don't we have a bureau chief up there? Or is that Montana? Where's Leah from? Damn it, I'm drawing a blank. All right, if you're a good guy, get the hell out of Idaho. If you're a good girl, good guy, get out of Idaho. I hope everybody in Idaho just chokes to death. You thugs in Idaho are going to send us this punk into Washington to head the EPA? Huh? Kempthorne is 51... He's a former one-term U.S. senator and mayor of Boise, Idaho. He was elected governor in 1998. He's known in Washington as a hardline conservative. That means he disrespects human life. He disrespects the environment. He's a poisoner. Given a chance, he's a killer. This is what Republicans are. They're thugs, punks, liars, thieves, cheats, sneaks. Now, according to Knight Ridder, this guy would be a dramatic change from Christy Todd Whitman. Knight Ridder says she was a moderate. Christy Todd Whitman was a fool. That's what Christy Todd Whitman was. Oh, my. What else we got on this guy? While 35 states and the nation as a whole reduced the amount of toxins released into the environment from 1998 to 2000, the most recent year of available data. That was the last year of the Clinton administration. While most states, 35 states in the nation, reduced toxins, Idaho increased their poison by 2%. National emissions decreased by 9% in the same period, an achievement that Christy Whitman said Monday was an environmental success story. Christy, do I have to come over there and just smack you upside your head? That happened before you were in office, honey. That happened during the Clinton years. Now, get this. In 2000, under this guy Kempthorne's administration, Idaho released 76 million pounds of sludge, poison, and toxic crap into that state's environment. That's according to the EPA's toxic release inventory. Okay? Now, that was in that was an average of 59 pounds of poison per resident. The national average at the same time was 25 pounds of poison per resident. 76 million pounds of toxic releases in 2000 in Idaho with a population of 1.3 million. They ought to just close the damn state down. Turn it into a big hog farm. You know, with all that hog feces all over the place, just turn the entire state. What the hell? A million people? That's nothing. Idaho has more toxic emissions than California. California has 34 million people. Idaho has 1 million. Idaho has released 76 million pounds of toxic poison, as opposed to what? Untoxic poison? Into the environment. Now, see, the poison doesn't stay in Idaho. If it's air pollution, it goes to, oh, I don't know, where? Montana? The Dakotas? Nebraska? Eh? If it's a poison into the groundwater, into the aquifer, God only knows where it's going to go. So this little rat bastard who's been the governor, who's overseen all this, who has deliberately cut every single attempt to fund a clean environment, he is now going to be appointed the head of Bush's EPA. Don't you just want to slap somebody silly? Now, according to Knight Ritter, for companies that are known violators of pollution regulations, Idaho has a much worse inspection history than the rest of the nation. They don't even inspect them up there. They say, go ahead, you know, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Idaho has the most heavily Republican legislature in the nation. Republicans are animals. Ooh, that's a slur on animals. Can anybody tell me one decent Republican? Who, your mother-in-law? They are all thugs, killers, liars, cheats, sneaks, destroyers. All Republicans. Every single one of you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Now, Kemp Horn's environmental record has earned him a near zero rating from the League of Conservation Voters. Near zero. Now, remember, he was in the Senate. Wasn't he in the Senate? He was one-term senator. So in Washington, a near zero environmental rating from the League of Conservation Voters. He voted with the environmental organizations only once in 70 votes. However, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, pigs that they are, gave Kemp Horn a near perfect grade, saying he voted on their side 78 out of 81 votes. The other two, he was absent. And then the last one, he voted with those damned tree huggers, right? This is the guy Bush is appointing. This is the guy they're appointing. Now, Idaho political observers were surprised, according to Knight Ritter, at Kemp Horn's interest in the EPA job, noting that the environment hasn't been one of his top priorities. Does that classify as understatement of the month? Pig. However, those who know him in Boise say Mr. Kemp Thorne would do fine at the EPA. Somebody from Boise State University said he may be defined as anti-regulatory, but you just don't see that. He's a problem solver. He's a tremendously charismatic speaker. People like him. People like to work for him. Yeah, I'd like to work for him. I'd like to be the guy that fixes his coffee in the morning. And that would happen once. And there'd be nobody left for whom to fix coffee. Dirk Kempthorne, destroyer of worlds, environmental terrorist, thug, pig, liar, cheat, sneak, thief, is going to be Bush's new EPA chief. You know, every day I think, well, the crap Bush pulled yesterday, he can't top it today. And every single day, I'm wrong.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
An extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, right. Well, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talks, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Not arsenic in the water, I'd be worried about.
Yeah, okay, I'll leave that alone. All right, I told you a little bit earlier, Kucinich will be on the program tomorrow, second hour. Our webmaster just called in. You can go to the MikeMalloy.com message board, and Mark has added a special topic, questions for the candidate. Now, that topic will only be there for 24 hours, less than that. So if you have a question for Kucinich, write it there, and I'll try to ask him tomorrow night, because obviously we're not going to have time. His people promised this would be just the first of several appearances on this program. But the first one is going to be relatively brief because he is traveling. So rather than my trying to get phone calls in here, we're going to do it this way. I hope you'll appreciate this is a economic move, economy of time. So go to MikeMalloy.com, and, of course, you have to register. What are we up to now? We still haven't hit 800 registered users. That would be nice if that would happen. I don't know why. It just would. But go register, and, excuse me, go to the page that Mark has created. Questions. What is it, Kathy? Questions for the candidate? Is that what it is? Questions for the candidate. And type in your question, and we'll print it off tomorrow and try to get to it with Dennis Kucinich. That's the second hour of the program tomorrow, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Matt is calling from, oh God, Idaho.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Matt.
How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going.
Cool. Hey, I just want to let you know, you're right about Idaho. It is a bastion of Republican slobber.
Yeah, what's up with this Dirk Kempthorne? Why? I mean, here's a guy who has trashed your state. How do you trash a state that only has a million people in it? I don't get that.
You just bow down to the corporate greed, you know? I mean, it's...
But what corporations? What do you have up there? Cows incorporated?
Yeah, you do. Well, yeah. Cattle's big time.
Yeah.
You've got Boise Cascade. Well, it's not Cascade anymore because they've downsized.
Oh, the paper manufacturing?
Yeah, well, paper products, timber, lumber.
Oh, you can wipe out an entire several ecosystems with one paper company for
sure.
Yeah,
and they've done it. They've done it. You know, in the mining, big mining, it's still around.
Oh, okay. I just figure, you know, if the 1.2 million people, what's to pollute? And then I read these figures that shows that Idaho, your state is getting as bad as it is here in Georgia. In Georgia, you have to get a permit to breathe now. And you can only breathe, depending on your address, on odd or even days. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. It's nasty.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, though, I'm lucky because I moved here from Olympia, Washington 3 years ago, and I have a neighbor across the street, and he actually turned me on to your show. And luckily for me, at the first place I moved, I have the liberal that I try to be anyways. I moved right next door to a liberal, which is nice for me, and we've actually been talking about this whole Kempthorne thing, and we've been waiting to see what's going to happen. And basically, he kind of made a comment that I thought was interesting. He was basically saying, you know, it's a perfect progression for this guy. He's, you know, whatever it was, mayor.
Mayor. Yeah, he's mayor of Boise.
Yeah, mayor. He was a senator, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a senator one term. And
now he's governor. And what's the next best step for somebody that maybe does what would be next would maybe be president, but he doesn't have that. Maybe that's not where he wants to go. What's the next best step? Get into the EPA, be their dog, and then make his $1 million with the corporation.
There you go.
We're after it.
There you go. That's it. What took you to McCall, Idaho, Matt, from
Well, actually, I'm a smoke jumper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so it was the fact that you went out there to fight fires.
Yeah, I went out there to fight fires. That's a whole other can of worms.
Well,
right
I don't think I've ever talked to a smoke jumper. You certainly have my respect. You guys have cojones the size of Mount Olympus.
I'm only 5'7", Mike.
Well, I don't care if you're 5'1". You've got more guts and courage. Smoke jumpers, to me, have more courage than anybody short of maybe people who go into combat.
Well, it's quite a tradition, and it's been around for a little over 60 years, and I'll tell you, it's a good group of folks, and we really love what we do, and we're just doing it to, you know, just live life to the fullest, you know?
I understand. Well, take care of yourself. I hope you call again, and like I say, I'm very impressed to have talked to you. Thanks for checking in, Matt.
Okay, keep it up, man.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Smoke jumper. Wow. You talk about courage.
I hear about the hole in the sky, salt water wells in my eyes. We climb the highest mountain, we'll make the desert bloom. We're so ingenious, we can walk on the moon. But when I hear about the forests have died.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
As the unemployment rate in Iraq continues to worsen, and where by some estimates nearly half the country's populace is already jobless, those without work are running out of patience. More than 15,000 people have joined a new Iraqi union called the Union of the Unemployed in Iraq, or UUI, and it's been in negotiations with U.S. Civil Administration officials over the last 3 weeks, hoping to win jobs or unemployment insurance payments from the new ruling coalition. But the union says talks have stalled. Now they're organizing nationwide protests for July 3rd, which some in the UUI expect could draw well more than 100,000 people.
Need a job? Go directly to jail. City officials in Taunton, Massachusetts have taken a novel approach to tackle a budget deficit. Lay off the city's unionized municipal employees and replace them with shackled prisoners. Taunton city councilors hope the chain gangs will help them replace 50 workers and cut into $3 million of red ink, but Laborers Union Local 1144 has vowed to put a halt to the plan. The union says the practice is not only disgusting, but a violation of its existing contract, which prohibits the city from accepting so-called volunteer labor during a time of layoffs.
Sources within the British Fire Brigade's union say the government may have spied on union members during the nine-month contract dispute, which ended earlier this month. According to the Manchester Guardian newspaper, union officials took great pains to keep their internal communications secure, even going so far as to buy new mobile phones, whose functions were disabled to restrict their ability to call only other phones in the group. Even so, government negotiators always seem to know what the union members were discussing. The FBU says it doesn't have enough evidence to request a formal investigation into the matter, but it's still working to build its case.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Anaconda.
Fudgy.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Flying Monkey Ride Blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Hey, if you weren't listening a few minutes ago, we just talked to a smoke jumper. No, I'm sorry, I'm impressed. I am impressed. I've, you know, like most people in this country, I've only seen video or, you know, a newscast from some raging forest fire, and they interview these people, these men and women. I guess women are involved in the actual jumping now, too. But you talk about people that impress me, okay? And I'm not easily impressed. That's all. Whatever. Anyway, thanks to Matt for calling in. Ben, our Elgin, Illinois Bureau Chief and webmaster at WhiteRoseSociety.org is checking in. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike. Well, we got the chance here in Elgin to see Dennis Kucinich on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome. He is a great public speaker.
He, yeah. You know, Howard Dean is no slouch either, but Kucinich is just, boy, I mean, he really gets the blood pumping, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's very animated.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that as people listen to him on your show tomorrow, they're not going to see, is that he is just a very animated speaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's really impressive to watch him.
How does he compare to, like, for example, Senator Byrd?
I would say he compares very favorably with Senator Byrd, perhaps slightly less eloquent, but more to the point.
Yeah, Senator Byrd is more like Cicero, whereas Dennis Kucinich reminds me maybe of Mark Antony.
Exactly.
Is that a good...
That would be a really good analogy.
Okay.
The now, I had a little fun the other day with something very juvenile.
All right.
And I'm going to pass it on to your listeners.
Pass it on.
I was in a bookstore, one of those big chain bookstores, killing some time.
Right.
And there I was in the current events section, and there were all these books by Michael Savage, Savage Nation, and I just couldn't stand seeing his face staring at me.
Yeah.
So I turned all the books around so the spines faced the back of the bookcase, and I put several books on the world court in front of them. And this really improved the bookcase a lot, so I went over to religion, and I found Lawrence Lessinger's Ten Commandments book, and it's now warming the backs of the collected works of Confucius.
Hey, that's great, Ben. I like that. I like that. I don't know. Can you be arrested for rearranging books? I don't think so.
I thought about it long and hard, and I decided the worst they could possibly do was to say that I was doing malicious mischief.
That's right. We have a thing now called malicious mischief. Well, I think it's cool. I'll go ahead and recommend that folks, when you're standing in a bookstore, you may pick it up and look at it. If you inadvertently put it with the spine to the back and people can't see what it is, oh, such a crime.
Yep.
That's great.
You take care, Mike.
All right, Ben, appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. Now, again, in case you missed it, Mark Marshall, our MaximumInteractive.com webmaster, has created a page at MikeMalloy.com, questions for the candidate. And this is to get some questions in here that you would like asked of Dennis Kucinich. He'll be on the program tomorrow. You know, unless he's traveling around on a private plane, then it's always iffy. He'll be here tomorrow, second hour. So if you have a question, and to just get as much in as possible from Kucinich, I don't want to sit here and just get some chit chat going. I want it to be from you folks, your questions. I may have one, but I have a feeling that the questions that I might ask Dennis Kucinich, you will ask anyway. So go to that webpage that Mark has created and put your question there. If you want. One other thing, it's been suggested that I mention, I just thought this was too personal or too regional or too local to bring up, the death of Maynard Jackson yesterday. A lot of people around the country now are saying, who's Maynard Jackson? He was the first mayor of African descent in Atlanta back in 1974. He was elected mayor about 8 months before I moved back to the city to stay. I got to know Maynard Jackson simply by virtue of the fact of working in media and working politically here in Atlanta. And he was a decent man. He challenged Terry McAuliffe for the chairmanship of the Democratic National Committee after George Bush stole the election. And he was defeated, of course, by McAuliffe. He wound up with a secondary or tertiary position with the DNC. Maynard Jackson was a DLC type, no question about it. But he did an awful lot of good for Atlanta. He did not deliberately and directly participate in the pollution of this city. Maynard was a pro-growth mayor, but he was also he believed in balanced growth. Anyway, he was a decent human being, and I would be remiss not mentioning I lived through three of his administrations. He was elected twice back to back, and then came back in 1989, I believe. And I just wanted to mention it. Maynard Jackson died yesterday. He was on a flight from Atlanta, landed at Washington National, got sick, collapsed. On the way to the hospital, died of a massive coronary. He had some health problems over the course of his life, including heart trouble and diabetes. For those of you in the Atlanta area that are listening, his funeral is at the Civic Center, a memorial service or funeral, this Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning. Just thought I would mention that. He was a decent man. Daryl is calling from Detroit, our bureau chief up there. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Mike. I'm sorry I've been around for a little while.
Yeah, where you been?
I'm expanding my venues here and doing some licensing and stuff like that. So.
Okay, well, it's best you don't tell us.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
I'm still on Ashcroft Smith's, no matter what I do.
I'm sure you are.
I wanted to be the first to sign up to join the list of the bookstore book buggery crew.
Yeah, turning books around?
Yes.
I like that idea.
Great idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And thank you very much for mentioning Maynard Jackson.
Yeah.
I think he was a class act.
He was. Extreme liberals might have found him a little bit more conservative than their liking. There were some things he did here in Atlanta I thought, eh. But overall, he was a good guy. And not only was he a decent man where it concerned the city of Atlanta, but he was also a pretty decent guy in his private life. He was a compassionate human being, and you got to respect that these days. Because when you find it in a politician, it's fairly rare.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
I will definitely be trying to hear you and participate with your interview of Kucinich.
Yeah.
And I think Dennis has a good message. I was hoping that maybe somebody from C-SPAN would come in and, you know, tape you guys live while you were talking.
Nah. Nah, we're not. No, this is the Mike Malloy Show. we don't exist outside the Sirius Channel 145, IE America Radio, and people's minds. I mean, and the internet. That's where we exist. C-SPAN couldn't care less.
There are people who listen to you in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure in South America.
Oh, yeah. Japan.
And Japan.
Well, White Rose Society, Ben, sent me a breakdown, several weeks ago. And I think there were 57 countries. Ben, if I'm exaggerating, I apologize. But there were double-digit countries. And I think it was 55, 57 countries that were identifiable as having downloaded programs from WhiteRoseSociety.org. So, yeah, we're...
The word is out there. I know the word got out there to a couple more people because I was flying on a plane back from Atlanta a few weeks back and talking to a person who had come over from Switzerland.
Uh-huh.
She worked for the World Health Organization.
Right.
She had come to speak at Atlanta at the CDC.
CDC.
And she was very cautious because she was wondering what, you know, she's American, but has been an expatriate for a while working there.
Right.
And wanted to know what we were thinking when we elected Bush and whatnot. So,
of course, you explained to her we did not elect him.
Left her with a list of websites. Your name was prominently mentioned.
Okay.
And whatnot. She said, wow, it's good to be able to get on the plane and fly back with some progressive. I thought I was going to be sitting beside, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly who she is, but...
Well, as my grandmother used to say, the Lord works in wondrous, strange ways, his wonders to reveal. So there you go.
That's good. And one final thing, I really appreciate the fact that you used the proper name of the airport. Washington National.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the other name.
Mm-hmm.
That's conscious and deliberate.
In Cincinnati, they have a road called Cross County Highway.
Yeah.
At least that's what it was called, and that's what I continue to call it.
Yeah, good.
Okay. I wholeheartedly urge everyone to continue to call things by a good name, not the name of, I won't get into any more character assassination. Did you talk about the Supreme Court decision yesterday?
Yeah, we brought it up very briefly. There really wasn't that much to report except that affirmative action by a 5-4 close call, which means this will probably be the last time it is affirmed, but it was affirmed. And the second decision that was more or less struck down was the manner and method by which University of Michigan assigned points. So they can continue to use race as a factor, but not using an overt or at least obvious point system. Hopefully the administration, University of Michigan, and all universities will understand the criticalness of having a diverse educated class in this country, and we'll work, you know, just work around it. Just, you know, give the middle finger to the Supreme Court and the Republicans and just do what they have to do.
And I'm sure you got to the library censorship.
Yeah, that's that issue I haven't really gotten into at all. But we probably will at some point.
Okay. Well, I'll not jump the gun.
All right.
I will appreciate being able to listen to you for a while yet tonight.
Okay.
Hang in there. We'll continue to be pressing the word, and some local things are happening on local politics, and you will be probably getting some more web hits from this area very shortly.
Super. Thank you. Right. Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate you checking in, pal.
Sure.
All right. Have a nice evening. Have a nice evening. Everybody, have a nice evening. Here's our Honolulu, Hawaii Bureau Chief. Hey, Nadine.
Hi, how are you, Mike?
Doing fine.
Well, there are three things on the agenda today. First off, we've all been talking about polls and how they cannot be trusted, right?
Right.
There's one that actually people should start paying attention to, and it's the Ipsos in North America, Ipsos Reid poll.
Yeah, I saw it. You sent it to me.
Yeah, those are the ones that I never reported. And I did send you the link for a reason.
Right.
It also points out to people don't no longer want a Republican Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, surprise.
I don't know. What you're leading me up to is to start believing that the American people, American sheeple, have awakened to the destruction and the vile activities of the Republican Party. Are you suggesting that the American sheeple are waking up, Nadine?
Yes, I am. And I have some word in the streets. Not only are people starting to really be annoyed and talking against Bush, but we've seen in the last 2 weeks a turnaround on boards all over the web, except the flying monkey right.
Uh-huh.
So we've seen that.
Well, that's a good thing, and I'm glad to hear that. I also know that you know, Bush and Cheney are out there raising tens of millions of dollars. They were in Bush was in New York. When was it? Last night.
Yes.
And raised a huge mountain of money in New York, which is kind of surprising to me. I realize the governor of the state and the mayor of the city of New York are both Republicans, although Bloomberg used to be a Democrat. But, you know, for George Bush to be able to raise that kind of money in New York City is, I don't know, kind of surprising to me.
Here is a significant point, though, the one that the media is not making.
Yeah.
A month ago, they were predicting a $200 million war chest.
Right.
Now that prediction has gone down to 170.
Yeah, but don't you think that is to soften the image?
No, it did not appear in the U.S. press.
Of greed and vileness? I saw something.
No, this did not appear in the U.S. press. This has not been discussed in the U.S. press.
Oh, really?
This story appeared actually in the British press, in The Guardian.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew I'd seen it. I just didn't know where.
It came from The Guardian.
Oh, okay.
Now, here's the other one that I just sent you. Remember that conversation we had a while ago about the euro?
Yeah.
Venezuela is moving to replace the U.S. dollar with the euro.
Yes, I saw that.
And that is extremely significant. We are literally coming into one of those moments in history where we're literally into a tipping point of history.
Well, that could be considered an act of terror by the Venezuelan government. So how soon before we send troops down there to straighten them out?
Well, yeah, but we will have to actually also send troops against Russia, China,
right.
Well, North Korea is not surprised, Malaysia.
You. I hear you.
See what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So we're becoming increasingly isolated. That also will weaken the dollar even further.
Well, we got to get them out.
We do.
The Bush crime family and Republicans are like having a huge sucking abscess.
Yes, they are.
And it needs to be excised. It needs to be excised.
Oh, yes, it is. Now, I'm willing to almost make a prediction.
Quick.
This election, this coming election, is going to be like it was for Hoover. he's not only going to lose, but people who actually supported Hoover,
yeah,
well, they're going to be known as Hoover Republicans and be despised for, oh, at least another 30 years.
And they'll be Bush Republicans. That sounds good to me. Nadine, thank you for checking in.
You're welcome.
All right, you have a nice evening. Quick break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Shame on me for the blues. Another one return.
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All this is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
stop. A few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
When I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, just got an interesting email during the break from Anna. Mike, I was watching the sci-fi programs about Roswell, and this tidbit stood out. When Carter was elected, he requested information about UFOs. The head of the CIA said, no way. Yep, you guessed it. That CIA head was none other than Bobby Bush. The Bush family evil empire has been weaving their evil web for a long time. That family is far scarier than any UFO. I didn't know that. That's interesting. Imagine Jimmy Carter. I like to see what you have in the file on the UFO. Pappy Bush saying, get out of here. Frank is calling from Boston. Hey, Frank.
Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I put in my vote on MoveOn.org today.
Yeah, me too. I can't. When we get the results tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I sent to as many people as I wanted to participate.
Yeah.
I like that book idea. I'm going to do it myself. I'm in bookstores every single day.
Oh, Ben is. I didn't realize Ben was a bookstore terrorist, man.
Yeah,
this is.
Let me tell you, man. Dirty. The only way you're going to get them is to play a little dirty here and there. I got through. Joining a bunch of their websites over the last few days.
Yeah.
I joined Michael Savage's Patriot Society, and I even joined Rush's site.
Really?
Oh, once you're inside, man, they talk as if no one else is listening.
Yeah.
They talk to each other, so it's just good being on the inside. And
well, see how much damage you can do.
I plan to. In fact, I was just on the Freeper site. In fact, they were pushing an article about American people. I sent it to you. Supporting an invasion of Iran. Did you see that?
You just sent it tonight?
Yes. Most Americans would support the United States taking military action to stop Iran from acquiring.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. I don't know what the hell's wrong with us. I just don't. We need to get the poison off of our televisions. We need to get the toxic waste out of Washington. We need to take this Bush punk and let him go cut weeds in Texas where he can talk to his cows.
You know, I was at a party the other night with some people. You had a lady before said she thinks it's people are catching on.
Yeah.
I think the opposite, and I'm a little discouraged by it. And I, like yourself, I want to see someday when Roe v. Wade gets turned over, I want to see someone I know go for an abortion. Or just go for some counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to see somebody I know go to the government for some help and just get turned down. And then they'll know. I think.
Yeah, sometimes you have to be, slapped in the face with...
I think so. I voted for Dean, by the way.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. I voted for Kucinich.
Yeah, well, I like Kucinich a lot. And they must be afraid of him on the Lucien site because he's mentioned in quite a few of their little posts.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Frank, big break coming. Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
All right, appreciate your call.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling up about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Mike Scott. For the first time, members of the independent panel investigating the shuttle disaster have said publicly that foam insulation that fell from the external tanks during Columbia's liftoff probably caused the February 1st disaster. Board member Roger Tetrault says they know the left wing began to disintegrate during Columbia's reentry, and the same part of that wing was hit by insulation during the launch.
And when you put all of those pieces of Swiss cheese together, it's a pretty compelling story that, in fact, the foam is the most probable cause of the shuttle accident.
The Columbia Accident Investigation Board is in the process of writing its final report, and they'll submit that to Congress later this summer. Six British soldiers have been killed, several others injured in two separate incidents in Iraq. British Defense Secretary Jeff Hoon says it's a terrible tragedy.
The two vehicles in which they were traveling were attacked with rocket-propelled grenades, heavy machine guns, and rifle fire from a large number of Iraqi gunmen. British troops returned fire and called for assistance from other UK forces.
U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld expressed sorrow for the six fallen British soldiers, but says coalition forces are still fighting for their lives and the liberation of the Iraqi people. Testimony continued Tuesday in the Winchell murder trial in Fort Worth, Texas. John Clemens has the latest.
Shante Mallard is accused of hitting Gregory Biggs with her vehicle and then driving home and parking her car in her garage with a victim still lodged in the windshield. Most of the testimony today dealt with crime scene investigators and with forensic experts describing the physical evidence discovered in Mallard's vehicle and the fact that Biggs would have survived if given proper medical treatment. This is John Clemens reporting.
Stocks were mixed at the end of trading on Tuesday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average adding 37 points to 9109. The Nasdaq fell 5 points to 1605. Wednesday, the Federal Reserve Board will announce what is expected to be another cut in interest rates.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read your bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Winds gusting up to 40 miles an hour are fueling a monstrous wildfire in southern Arizona. Fire officials fear Mother Nature will send the Aspen fire around fire lines, leading to more devastation. 20,000 acres have been charred so far in the mountainous region. The Rolling Stones aren't letting SARS fear stop their tour. The Rockers have announced plans to perform an open-air concert in Toronto, Canada next month. Mick Jagger says they want to bring back the energy to one of their favorite cities.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
For the first time in more than a century, Britain is playing host to Russia's head of state. President Vladimir Putin was given a royal welcome as he arrived Tuesday for a four-day visit in London. Prince Charles greeted him at Heathrow Airport. He was then formally welcomed by Queen Elizabeth. It's looking more than likely a recall election of California's Democratic Governor Gray Davis will be held. On Tuesday, supporters turned in just under 400,000 petition signatures. Recall spokesman Dave Gillard says another 400,000 are in the pipeline.
We're right on schedule for July. By the time the July report comes out, we will finish turning in signatures, and we're hoping to turn in between 1.2 and 1.3 million.
Davis's supporters say the recall organizers are inflating their numbers. It's almost hard to believe, but 20 years ago, the .com was born. The idea came from a computer science professor at USC who took the numerical codes used for Internet addresses to create the famous system. I'm Mike Scott, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Your car coughing, sputtering, riding rough? Think your service center has one magic machine that checks everything? Oh, no. One size doesn't fit all. When I come back, I'll give you the scope. The scoop. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Just like in a doctor's office, different diagnostic tools are used for different symptoms in service centers. A scope performs an EKG on your car's electrical system and checks engine functions as it runs, just like a patient on a treadmill. A scanner, on the other hand, talks with car's onboard computers and sensors, like getting a patient history. But if your car has new noises, hard steering, bumpy ride, or vibrating brakes, you don't need a machine test. You need a doctor, a qualified, experienced technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. The White Rose Society web mistress, is that politically correct? Ben's significant other, Katie. Well, if he's the webmaster, I guess she would be the web mistress, right? She said the number is up to 72 countries. Hits from 72 countries. Now, granted, probably a big chunk of those are just one or two hits, but 72 countries, yikes. And our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, had something to add, taking off on Ben's rearranging of books in bookstores. Chris writes in, mine's less of a big deal. While in a Michaels fabric store, well, there's more there than just fabric. While in a Michael's fabric store, I surreptitiously turned all the American flag magnets that were up at the front of the store upside down. The ones right by the registers. Ooh. Not a huge deal, but it felt good to get away with doing that. Of course, I probably had a bunch of people looking at them and thinking, what, was the person that put them out drunk? Not recognizing what an upside down American flag means. See, that's why Ben is the webmaster at White Rose and Chris is the senior correspondent. It's that sort of creative thinking. My fifth grade geography teacher would say, that's childish, sit down! But not me. All right, we're at 800-TALK-YES. If you would like to join in the frivolity, we have some more stuff to move on to here. However, we're going to take some calls right now. Bush met with the dictator of Pakistan today. The dictator of Pakistan, Pervez Musharraf, was here to buy weaponry. See, the Clinton administration slapped a weapons embargo on that country and India because of their doodling with nuclear weapons. And, of course, as soon as Bush took over, he removed restrictions of both countries because he has huge campaign contributors in the death industry. And they've, you know, I mean, those are two countries who are buying anything that they can get their hands on, sort of like Saudi Arabia, sort of like Israel. So, you know, why choke off a supply of money to the Bush coffers? So Pervez is in Washington, actually went to Camp David. The way I understand it, he wanted to stay in, who told me this? My senior correspondent, did Chris tell me this? He wanted to stay at the ranch, and Bush said no. He wanted to stay at the White House. Bush said no. I guess you can't arms deal. That's like dealing crack out of your car or guns out of the trunk of your car. Here's Bush. The only reason Musharraf is here, the only reason he's here, is to ask for weapons. He wants some death. He wants some weapons of mass destruction. Okay, weapons of not quite mass destruction. He wants those. Of course, they eventually will fall into the hands of the Taliban that is sort of slowly eating his country alive. But that's, you know, 10 years down the road. Then we'll have pictures of George W. Bush and Musharraf shaking hands as the Bush crime family sells off canisters of precursors of weapons of mass destruction, chemical and biological. Anyway, Musharraf is here to buy weapons. Bush didn't want to overtly deal weapons out of the White House, so they're meeting at Camp David. And our senior correspondent suggested that word was out there on the Internet that actually Bush said, look, you're going to have to get a hotel. Or, you know, people are going to find out why you're here, you funny-looking whore. Here to buy weapons so you can go back and kill Indians and Kashmiris. And oh, my God. Oh, this corrupt pig. And Musharraf is pretty bad, too. So we got one soundbite from that and then some stuff today from the psychopathic Rumsfeld that you just ain't going to believe. Getting a lot of bureau chiefs tonight. Bless your hearts. This is Marianne, our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief. Hey, Marianne.
Yeah, well, I can not blame some of the people wanting to be willfully ignorant. I mean, there's an article, I think it was in the Asia Times this past week. We're dealing with the Taliban. We're negotiating with them again.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it on this program, in order to bring order to Afghanistan. Isn't that now you ask the average American that, and the average American will look at you, Marianne, as though you are a Martian. They'll say, what are you talking about? What are you, communist? You know, they have no idea that the U.S. military has had sit-downs with members of the Taliban in trying to establish order in Afghanistan. Just incredible.
You know, and I was going to get back to the this past Sunday, where it was very depressing for me to watch Meet the Press and Dean and the Chicago Push debate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the average American, I had the sinking feeling that if you confronted Senator Dean with some of the stuff we know, they'd give the same dumb stare. I mean, I'm sorry. I was very disheartened by both of them. We have to be a lot smarter. A friend of mine and I were talking about that, and unfortunately, when we were just lining up the performance of people, like who would look like a leader that anyone who is not political would trust, well, the pros. Unfortunately, the pros are Kerry, Gephardt, and Lieberman.
Right.
And you know, it's like I don't know if there's time enough for someone like Dean or Kucinich to understand where they may get a rise out of people who already know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to communicate that to a public, the ability to go through a landmine that's going to be put in front of you by the likes of Tim Russert and all the media. I mean, we have to be smarter. And unfortunately, Dean, you know, I basically changed my mind on the basis of watching his interview.
Because I know there were some. Matter of fact, we quoted some of the Russert Dean exchange. But what was it specifically that?
Because he can't. You can't give a direct answer. You can't hem and haw and have anybody. Look, it's hard enough to try to get the truth out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're articulate, smart, funny, people are still going to be a little uneasy.
Right.
You know, if you have to sidestep, shuffle. I mean, unfortunately, the right now characterized by the boy king, But at all times, the right had an easier job, you know. Mm-hmm. Just get somebody waving a Bible saying, it says right here in the Bible.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's the extent of their argument, and that's the extent of how they have to be articulate. When you have to take not only the intelligent side, but the side that would cause great consternation if people really began to believe it, ooh, mm-hmm. you'd better project mm-hmm. a little more than just knowing something you don't know. I mean, you better be able to project a new vision, a confidence. And, you know, that's why Clinton
so,
won.
Well, are you, well, that's true.
Yeah.
But are you saying that Kucinich, neither Kucinich nor Dean are projecting this right
I
now?
I don't know. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe they could learn. I mean, this takes practice. This mm-hmm. takes a long time. It takes a long time being defeated. I think that was one of Bill Clinton's strengths, that he was defeated early in his political career and bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they consistently took on challenges to keep himself, you know, sharpened. I mean, Dean had the luxury of not being in the Senate, not taking any votes. So he could, like, you know, basically say, I didn't vote for this. I'm against this. And then he immediately backpedals on the next interview. It's really, maybe I'm just particularly depressed this weekend about world events, but boy, I'll tell you this.
Well, let me ask you, because this comes up in my discussions too. George W. Bush, when he was a candidate in 2000, was the most inarticulate, stumbling, dumbling fool that's ever thought that he could
yeah.
be president. And aside from the disc jockey that said, hey, what's the who's the president of the new president of Pakistan? You know, aside from that, people just didn't care about his stupidity.
Well, he had already lined up his constituency. They were already decided in a block. And the thing is, we have the job, a much different job. You have to start gathering the constituency from all four corners of this country. And you have to start articulating another position. They had the position already articulated. You know, and they were ruthless,
mm-hmm.
and they were very united. And, you know, when you are ruthless, united, and shameless, you have some definite advantages over people who are actually trying to solve problems rather than exploit them.
So what does Dean, what do Dean and Kucinich need to do? Do they need to spend several weeks perusing Common Dreams and Buzzflash?
I think they need to talk with tough people. I mean, people who can really hammer them with arguments and learn to stand up and argue, not just give the stump speech,
mm-hmm.
but... And also, you know, for instance, I'm sitting here looking at Kucinich and going, well, you know, Bill Clinton was hammered by the left,
mm-hmm.
but we had an amazing economy. The jobs didn't disappear. They appeared like, you know, like
right.
gangbusters. What
right.
would be the result of some of our well-meaning reversals of some of the things Bill Clinton did?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a multidimensional problem. And, you know, yeah, it's really right now very unfair and stacked. But unfortunately... getting through the incredible media bias, I think, is a necessary, not maybe even a sufficient, but necessary test to pass before you can really take on the problem.
Well, what disturbed you more, or were they equal? Was it a Dean's response to Russert or Russert's line of questioning?
Oh, well, Russert's line of questioning, I mean, that's just a reflection of the problem you're going to have to face, okay? He
right.
is just... the symbol, you know, he is basically the entire consensus reality, things that we have, you know, sort of allowed to have happen to our, you know, broadcast media in this country,
mm-hmm.
all right? So, I mean, you know, I've dealt with this for like over 10 years, I've seen this, that I've been paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with it. Clinton dealt with it. I mean, Clinton could turn it around. You have to be able to take... they're low blows and sideswipes
right.
and just do political Aikido. And Clinton was able to do it when Pappy Bush tried to, like, smear him with his patriotism in one of the debates.
Right.
Clinton just took that back and, you know, quoted his father,
mm-hmm.
Prescott Bush, during the McCarthy era.
Right.
You know, and it was just beautiful. That's what you have to do. You have to take low blows and cheap shots and just be able – and you have to be – you know, and unfortunately, you have to be punchy. You have to be quick. Because
well, do you think Dean and Kucinich are too noble or too principled?
Kucinich actually came off to me as somewhat hysterical. And I'm like watching this from the point of view of somebody who would just be like some average of any of my neighbors or colleagues here
mm-hmm.
watching this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not projecting, you know, a sort of, I mean, yeah, we're all hysterical, you know, on some level.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to do this directive and that directive. And I thought, well, you know, some of the people out here and out of your political persuasion would say, well, you're just going to be a dictator.
Yeah, you raised some great points, Marianne, on food for thought, for
but
sure.
But anyway, I mean, I'm not giving up hope.
Oh, no, I understand.
And I'm hoping that the line of questions, some of the comments that come in toward Kucinich, can maybe. I will write up a few.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Marianne.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
What's right, and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The Bushites have hoisted themselves on their own political petard, and ouch, that can hurt. The petard in question is George's famous campaign slogan, promising that he would leave no child behind. That's a sweet thought, but it recently smashed up against the rock-hard right-wing ideology of plutocracy, that is the governing ethic of this bunch, an ethic that basically preaches, leave no millionaire behind, and everyone else take the hindmost. At issue was George W.'s $350 billion tax giveaway to the wealthiest of the wealthy, the least needy families in America. The millionaire class will enjoy an average of about $93,000 a year from Uncle Sugar in this giveaway. There's even a special Hummer deduction tucked into the bill, sort of like a prize in a box of Cracker Jacks. It gives a tax deduction of up to $100,000 to business owners who buy a vehicle weighing at least 6,000 pounds. To provide a political sham for this rip-off by the rich, the Bushites tossed in a $400 per child increase in the child tax credit, allowing George to proclaim with a straight face that his plutocratic boondoggle will, quote, reduce tax rates for everyone who pays income taxes. But oops, he lied. Nearly 12 million children live in low-income working families that do pay income tax, but were simply excluded from George's $400 tax credit. That's one in every six children that he left behind, including, ironically, the children of some 200,000 men and women of the military. Yet, when confronted with this, Tom DeLay, the Bushites' chief operative in the House, waved his hand dismissively and barked, "There are a lot of things more important than that." This is Jim Hightower saying, "Yeah, Tom, things like integrity, fairness, and honesty. There you have their compassionate conservatism. $100,000 for Hummer owners, and not even $400 for the children of poor working families."
a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Are you always in confusion? 24 past the hour. By the way, for Governor Dean supporters, I'll mention this again. What is this, Tuesday? I'll mention this again a couple of times during the week. But coming this Saturday, the 28th, Dean is going to be at the Plaza in downtown Santa Fe from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Okay? That's in Santa Fe. This coming Saturday, June 28th, from 4:30 to 6 p.m. So if you're listening KTRC or listening on the Internet, whatever, if you live in the Santa Fe, New Mexico area, Howard Dean will be there. I guess the Plaza, it's an outdoor venue, right, Kathy? Huh? This Saturday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Now, I'm sure everyone who lives in Santa Fe is probably or will be aware of that. Through local media out there. But if you haven't heard about it yet,
you heard it here first.
This Saturday, Howard Dean, Santa Fe. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Joe is calling from Oregon, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, before I get to my main topic, I just want to let Julian Jordan know, if she's listening to this, that she hasn't been forgotten. And anyway, I'll talk
about... And Peter Werby, too?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, me and Julian were kind of buddies. So.
Oh, were you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't you write to Peter and get her address and you know, just send her an email direct. I'm sure she'd like to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, anyway, I'll talk about...
By the way, you know she is married.
Yeah, I know that.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
I told you, talked to her several times off the
air. I thought your interest was other than political or...
Well, yeah. But yeah, she's married. Let's cut it out.
Okay.
Anyway, let's talk about Kucinich, Dean, and Kerry in that order.
Yeah.
Kucinich, I heard somebody mentioning last night, well, maybe he's not electable. Actually, Dennis Kucinich is perfectly capable of getting elected against the moron in chief. It's just that the people running the Democratic Party are too stupid to let him get nominated.
Well, that has to be bypassed. You know that as well as I do. Did you vote at MoveOn.org?
Oh.
You still have time if you didn't, Joe. You can still...
I know. I don't have my own computer or anything. I got to get a password there at the library.
Well, and it's raining on election day, and I couldn't get transportation. You know, if you're serious about it, I'll tell you why it is serious. I don't know if you know this or not. Mm. MoveOn.org, what they're doing by putting all nine candidates up there, if one candidate gets 50% of the vote or more, then MoveOn is going to officially endorse. They have like 1.4 million, I believe, subscribers to that website.
I'll see what I can do tomorrow.
And it has to be done by 11:59 p.m. tonight, I think Eastern Time, which gives you an hour and a half, dude. You have an hour and a half, and it's very simple to register. Let me tell you, you don't need anybody's computer. You're listening to this program on a computer. You just type.
No, I'm not. I'm listening on the phone.
Well, get to a computer. Type in www.moveon.org. And as soon as a page pops up, the very top, it says click here to register. You click to register, and then immediately check whatever email you're using, and they will send you the ballot. There's two questions. Answer the questions, and then they may ask for your phone number because they're going to do some voter surveys afterwards. But you got to do it. Now, I'll hold you over because we destroyed your time. But you got to do that, Joe. Everybody's got to do that. Put Joe on hold. We'll come back, and we'll take your phone calls, too. But if you haven't voted... There's an hour and a half left. MoveOn.org. Now, you all know this. I mean, I haven't mentioned it except to mention it in passing, but it's been all over the Internet. You all know about MoveOn.org. If you haven't gone there and voted in this primary, please do it. You got an hour and a half.
If you want to participate... In USA Freedom Corps, it's usafreedomcorps.gov. if you're one of these computer literate type people.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Hope is a more effective motivator than fear, offering a more potent reason to protect the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Environmental problems are often described in doom and gloom terms, with the finger of blame pointing in many directions. But Jane Elder says that might not be the best way to reach people.
When you look at the history of environmental communications and messages, a lot of our messages tend to get wrapped into sacrifice, guilt, it's your fault, all those kinds of negatives, which it's really easy for people to be put off by.
Elder directs the Biodiversity Project, a nonprofit based in Madison, Wisconsin. She says many people feel hopeless when it comes to environmental problems.
We go to these psychological responses to overwhelming news, and that's just, you know, the way the human psyche deals with big, bad news that we feel powerless about. So I think part of the challenge to penetrate through that is to find ways that do connect with people's sense of hope, their sense of personal need to be involved, and then provide practical steps that are real and doable and empowering.
Elder says people respond positively when they learn that what they buy or how much they drive really does matter. She says most want to leave a better world for the next generation.
We look at the values that motivate people to care about the environment, and they're pretty lofty things. It's about family. It's about future. It's about how we can live together on the planet. It's about beauty. It's about permanence. These things are really important to people and not just Americans. And when we can have a conversation on that level, then you can talk about hope. You can talk about solutions. You can talk about actions that real people can take and move it out of that old box of everything's awful and there's nothing we can do.
That's Jane Elder of the Biodiversity Project. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Kucinich will be on the program tomorrow, second hour, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. And Mark Marshall has set up a page on the message board where you can, if you're registered, and to be registered to post on the site, it's very simple. But if you're registered, you can post a question there. What we're going to do tomorrow is just talk with Kucinich with your questions. I have enough confidence, way enough confidence in the audience's program. You all will come up with the questions that I would normally ask anyway. So it's going to be as rapid fire as we can. We only have him for 30 minutes, Kathy tells me, this first go-around. Now, he'll be back. But this first one is going to be your questions. I'm going to try to just stand out of the way, just read the questions, I guess, right, Kathy? If you go to MikeMalloy.com, you'll get the main page. Click on the link that says News. And then there's an internal link to take you right to the registration page, I believe. All right? Now do this. Do this, okay? Back to Joe, our Brookings, Oregon bureau chief. Did you vote yet?
What?
Well, you were on hold. You were on hold for 3 minutes, three and a half minutes.
I don't have access to a computer. Look, man, I'll see what I can do in the next hour and a half.
Okay, I hope so. You know, you're a bureau chief.
Yes.
You have to set an example.
Oh, okay.
You think being a bureau chief is just like, oh, I'm a bureau chief.
Well, you
have to set.
You never sent me the rules in the mail, man.
Well, Joe, we don't have any rules, but a bureau chief, we just assume the people. You don't have email. How in the hell am I going to send it to you? We just assume that the people we make bureau chiefs are just, you know, so insightful that something like voting in the MoveOn.org poll would just be like click.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Wait.
Now I'm not hanging up. Go ahead.
Good. Okay. Well, anyway. Even though I was talking about Kucinich, even though I'm a green for Kucinich, I'll go on to Howard Dean. I actually find Howard Dean to be an acceptable candidate as long as he doesn't nominate some ass clown to be his running mate on the Democratic side, right?
What would you think of Dean Wesley Clark? Now, the reason I say Wesley Clark, former NATO Supreme Allied Commander, well, I don't know if they still call him that, NATO Commander, who apparently is a Democrat, but that would immunize a Democratic ticket against charges of soft on the military, which for some reason the Democrats are always susceptible to, which I've never been able to figure out. How about Dean Wesley Clark?
No, I like Dean Gary Hart. Betters, I think Gary Hart.
Well, Hart is
more to the point. Wait.
Yeah, he made it clear he's not interested in any of this.
Okay, well, see, that would be my ticket. Wesley Clark, I don't know that much about the guy, so I can't comment.
Well, you can find out about him. Well, that's right. You don't have a computer.
Yeah, well, I'll find out, okay?
All right.
I'm a bureau chief, remember?
That's right.
I'll find out.
That's right. You're a bureau chief.
Yes, okay. So anyway, but Howard Dean... He needs to quit listening to these people who want him to move back to the center. Howard Dean, as a matter of fact, might be what's perfect for the Democratic Party. Howard Dean is basically a centrist or a moderate from a left-wing state.
Mm-hmm.
So that would basically make him left of center to the rest of the country. Just sell what he's been able to sell in Vermont times 50, and he could do this thing. And also, actually, as a matter of fact, I think Howard Dean, what I like the best about him is that he does come out strong. He doesn't back down. He's mm-hmm. not a wuss. Quite frankly, I think Howard Dean is very likely the last hope of the Democratic Party.
Not Kucinich.
Kucinich would be my ideal candidate, and I want him to win. But like I said, I don't think the establishment of the Democratic Party will let him win the nomination.
Okay, but it's time to say to the Democratic Party establishment to piss off. I mean, that's what we're all saying anyway. I honestly believe,
right.
Here's what I believe. Ardent supporters of Dean had better back him 1,000%. Ardent supporters of Kucinich had better do the same thing.
Well, I do.
Okay.
I do.
No equivocation here. No equivocation. None of this, looks like Dean is the inside the beltway choice by the members of the Democratic Party that are kind of renegades and don't like Terry McAuliffe, and Kucinich is out there in left field, and he'll, you know, no. If you're a Dean supporter, support the hell out of him. If you're a Kucinich supporter, support the hell out of him. We don't care. We don't care what the Democratic Leadership Conference, what Terry McAuliffe and the Democratic Party say about these candidates. We know where they're going to come down. They're going to come down on Kerry or Gephardt or Lieberman. We understand that.
Well, that's right. I mean, I always support whoever the hell I want to support. I don't care what the hell anyone else got to say about. That includes you.
Well, that's why you're a bureau chief.
Yeah, that's right. Finally, to go on about John Kerry,
yeah,
the war hero,
yeah,
JFK, if you will. John Kerry. Now, the thing is, I was impressed by him a couple years ago when he stood up against the Alaska oil drilling bill, and he let everyone know that he would filibuster against it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, I haven't been impressed by one damn thing he's done since. Now, John Kerry, he comes out the other day and he says, Bush lied to us about the war.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, John Kerry's a smart guy. He's not stupid. John Kerry knew damn well at the time that Bush was lying his head off, and John Kerry just to get favor from the pro-Israel lobby or with the Beltway establishment, whatever the hell he was doing, he supported this war ever since then. John Kerry one day is to the right, one day he's to the left and criticizing Bush, and he's back to the right, and he's back to the left. You know, he's trying to be another Bill Clinton. The guy doesn't impress me one damn bit. So, the guy better get it straight just what kind of message he wants to put out. He thinks he's a great politician. I don't think it is going to sell. He'll get his butt kicked in the next election.
All right, Joe. Thank you, sir. Yep. He hangs up so quick. Regarding Kerry and the lies he bought concerning Iraq, I just want to say this. Granted, if you and I, you know who you are, if you and I did not believe this weapons of mass destruction trash from the very beginning, if we did not believe from the very beginning that this tin pot tyrant Saddam Hussein was a threat to the United States, if, in other words, if we did not buy into any of the lies put out there by the Bush crime family, if we found out that the Bush crime family was complicit in the attacks on this country on September 11th, if we were able to find out the lies and deceptions, then John Kerry should have been able to find out, too. I mean, that's the line of reasoning, right? He is a United States senator. If you and I knew about it, and we're not in government, why didn't every single Democrat who supported the war resolution or who supported the USA Patriot Act, why didn't they understand what it was that they were supporting? So, like Joe, I have a problem now with born-again Democrats who all of a sudden are willing to stand up on their itty-bitty hind legs and start swiping at this 20-foot-tall monster named George W. Bush. It's a little, it just stretches it. Now, I'm certainly not going to, discount what Kerry is saying, because Kerry just might, in his saying Bush is a liar, his version of that, his softened version of that, just might get the attention of enough mainstream American Democrats who are terrified of Dennis Kucinich and are equivocating about Howard Dean. Kerry might be able to reach those people, not as President of the United States, but as a potential candidate who is saying, look, what George Bush said was not true. George Bush has answering to do. If enough of these Democrats, and I realize they're all saying it, with the exception, of course, of Lieberman. Oh, I don't like him. And I don't think Gephardt. Where's Dick Gephardt? Anybody seen Dick Gephardt for the past 6 months? He just disappeared, hasn't he? Got a job as an Amway salesman? What? What happened to him? He's gone. He's just gone. He doesn't exist anymore. Now, as far as Bob Graham is concerned, he's about as inspiring as a wet Kleenex. I mean, there's no there there. A lot of people say, well, it's got to be good. Graham's got to be on the ticket in order to get Florida. Yeah? No. Sorry. And besides, I think Graham is a potential psychopath. I really do. I mean, this is a guy who breaks into song. I'm sorry. And plus, he's not a Democrat. Bob Graham is not a Democrat. I don't know what the hell he is, but he's not a Democrat. So, as far as some of these candidates saying, well, George Bush tricked us. Keep saying it, guys. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. And maybe some of these cowardly Democrats who are terrified of Dennis Kucinich, frightened terribly by Howard Dean, maybe they'll listen to Kerry. And if they listen to Kerry enough, then they'll say, well, wait a second. If that's true, then maybe I ought to tune into Kucinich or Dean, because they're really saying it. You see what I'm saying? Clint is calling from Dearborn. Hey, Clint.
Hi, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I'm glad I got to participate in the move-on vote today. I voted for Kucinich. And I think because his values are, you know, closest to mine. I like the fire in his belly, and, you know, he just seems like he can challenge the Bushes, you know, the best on all this nonsense that they're doing, and I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, I do. I'm not the least hesitant to say that my vote went to Kucinich. We'll see what happens. I told somebody that I will continue to support Kucinich until the until he's not in the race. You understand what I mean by that?
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll do whatever it takes. I'll on the MoveOn.org. I signed up to volunteer. Whatever they come up with, ask me to do in my congressional district, I'll certainly do it. I signed up that I will contribute money, and I'll support him until he can't be supported. In other words, until he's gone. Okay, that's how I feel. Howard Dean would be my second choice. It's kind of a toss-up. In a couple of respects, it's kind of a toss-up. I do believe that Kucinich is more of a pure liberal Democrat.
I agree.
That may be a good thing. That may be a bad thing. I don't know that the American public has the courage or the common sense to put a liberal Democrat in office, although I'm hoping that that's the case. But Kucinich and Dean right now are the two that I'm the most focused on. If Kucinich falls by the wayside and Dean is still in it, then I switch to Dean. It's just that simple. That's how it breaks down for me.
Yeah. Well, I saw the folks at Ben and Jerry's are supporting Kucinich.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that little corporate, you know. I mean, you know, they're not really corporate people, but I mean, you know, in the traditional sense. But I do like somebody that's credible, you know, with the left. You know, like they are kind of behind him, because I think they're coming from the same, you know, thinking that we are.
Yeah, I understand, although you're credible from the left.
Yeah.
I'm credible from the left, and 99.9% of the people who call this program are credible from the left. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it didn't come out the way I wanted to.
I know what you mean.
I wanted to say, too, that I like Ben's idea of turning around the books in the bookstore. I think I'm going to go. It's just devilish enough that I think I might go do the same thing.
Well, Chris's idea of inverting the flags, you know, I'm all over the place. Target does it. I don't know about Walmart, because I wouldn't go into Walmart if I was starving to death and they were giving away free food. But I know Target does it. They have these little up near the cash register. Michael's here in Atlanta does the same thing. They have these little flags. You know, they're like refrigerator magnets. Just turn them all upside down. That's a great idea. And turn the books around. That's a good idea.
And the other thing that I'm thinking of, my sister and I are talking about putting out our Clinton, our Gore Lieberman signs on the 4th of July. This is kind of our way to say, you know, something's up in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. Good ideas. Hey, thanks, Clint.
Take care.
All right, sir. You too. Appreciate you checking in. Ethan is calling from Tucson. Hi, Ethan. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. You know, I mean, I called you for the first time about a month ago. Since then, I introduced my brother-in-law to you. I saw him for the first time in a while about a week ago.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was so pissed off. So naturally, he was pretty excited when I downloaded an archive from White Rose Society.
Well, is your brother-in-law like maybe more conservative than you are?
No, he's not. I mean, he's a diehard New York Times wielding sort of East Coast kind of liberal, which is why I'm surprised he's quite this pissed off. I mean, I told him a long time ago I don't have time for the New York Times. It's just another media conglomerate outlet. As far as I'm concerned, it sort of defines what's acceptably left.
Although,
which is not quite, you know, good enough for me, but.
Yeah, but although, you know, they do have writers there like Paul Krugman.
Right. Sure.
So, you know, it's just like here in the South, after there's been a real heavy, a sustained rain, a lot of folks will head out for the country and they'll find a pasture where there are cows out there and they'll climb the fence. And, of course, you're really in trouble if you get caught. But they'll look for the cow pies and find those magic mushrooms. So even in a cow pie, you can find a little bit of magic.
Okay, I've done that.
Right, so even in the New York Times, you can find a little bit of magic.
No, to be sure, they do have some very good writers, but at the same time, they are as guilty as,
sure.
you know, the Washington Post in beating the drum of war, in being misled when,
sure.
as we all know, the requisite information was out there.
Right, and
you
the know, Times...
You don't listen to Judith Miller every time she opens her mouth for the Pentagon.
Well, that's the thing. The Times also has some real media whores, like Jeff
right.
Gerth, like Judith Miller. They're
yeah.
just a whole barnyard full of these thugs, but occasionally you find a Paul Krugman. Occasionally you find E.J. Dionne at the Washington Post. You find writers
sure.
like that, and that's why I subscribe to the Times, and you know, hard copy, and you just have to look. You have to find
it. Well, I'll say this too. I mean, my brother-in-law lives in Jersey, and if you want, you know, local information, you want to know what's going on in New York, it's the paper of record.
That's
I mean,
right.
You know, there's no denying that aspect of it. So sure, fine.
Now, did you get to your point, or have we just talked?
Yeah, well, I was going to, so I,
all right, well, let me
cast my vote, yeah?
Hold on. Ethan, let me put you on hold, because we got a break. I'll come back, and we'll finish up right after this break, all right? All right, stay with us. Quick break here. We'll be back.
No direction, waste my time thinking I'm the next one to make a difference, to make a change, to make some sense and to rearrange. Rearrange the way you think. Hesitate, lose control, and you will sink. Think fast, think for yourself. Don't let the world be your own hell, because it is so. It's so full of greed, because it is so. It's so. So much need for independence, solidarity, unity.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty, then.
The
Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steph and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Molloy.
Five before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Back to Ethan in Tucson. All right, Ethan.
Hey, okay. I did the move on thing. I cast my vote. I went with Dean myself.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I think is gonna happen with Kucinich. He is a little too left, I think, for your DNC Democrats, of which, unfortunately, there remain quite a number.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gonna get called on his record on abortion, and he's gonna get torn a new one by certain pundits on his relationship with Shirley MacLaine and the whole New Age deal. And there have been a bunch of articles in the press over the last couple weeks already starting to sort of prod that information into the matrix. And I think that's gonna ruin him. If he gets too big, I think they'll pull out the big guns.
Well, you could almost say that about all of these candidates. Look what they did to John Kerry regarding his Vietnam experience, or was that Bob Kerry? I have a hell of a time keeping those two straight. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. My position on all this is simply, yeah, Dennis Kucinich may be painted by the punditocracy and the Democratic Party leadership as being too far to the left. When you look at what he stands for, that's such a jive-ass nonsense statement. What Dennis Kucinich stands for is simply Democratic Party principles. And, to a certain degree, so does Howard Dean. Now, I know a lot of Kucinich supporters will say, no, that's not true about Dean. And a lot of Dean supporters say, no, that's not true about Kucinich. But yeah, both of them, I think, at this point, deserve an awful lot of attention. But what just fries me is the way people insist on saying, well, and I'm not getting in your case, Ethan, because, I probably said it on this program, too, until I wised up. But people who say that Kucinich is too far left, he's a traditional Democrat. When did traditional blue-collar working-class Democrat...
Sure.
Yeah,
when
did that become...
Exude communist or anything
right,
like that.
Right,
when
did...
A lot of the neocons have closer ties to Marxists than he does.
That's very true. Hey, Ethan, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right, man.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. All right, quick break here. Coming back next hour. Rummy and Iraqi oil, plus more of your phone calls. Do stay with us, please. I'm Mike Molloy.
You're listening to Mike Molloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Mr. Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Mike Scott. 6 British soldiers were killed, several others injured in 2 separate incidents in Iraq as violence flared on Tuesday. British Defense Secretary Jeff Hoon says it is a terrible tragedy.
The 2 vehicles in which they were traveling were attacked with rocket-propelled grenades, heavy machine guns and rifle fire from a large number of Iraqi gunmen. British troops returned fire and called for assistance from other UK forces.
U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld expressed sorrow for the 6 fallen British soldiers, but says coalition forces are still fighting for their lives and the liberation of the Iraqi people. For the first time, members of the independent panel investigating the shuttle disaster have said publicly for the foam insulation that fell from the external tanks during Columbia's liftoff probably caused the February 1st tragedy. Board member Roger Tetrault says they know the left wing began to disintegrate during Columbia's reentry, and the same part of that wing was hit by insulation during launch.
And when you put all of those pieces of Swiss cheese together, it's a pretty compelling story that, in fact, the foam is the most probable cause of the shuttle accident.
The Columbia Accident Investigation Board is in the process of writing its final report. It will submit that report to Congress later this summer. Testimony continued Tuesday in the Windshield murder trial in Fort Worth, Texas. Reporter John Clemens has more.
Shante Mallard is accused of hitting Gregory Biggs with her vehicle and then driving home and parking her car in her garage with a victim still lodged in the windshield. Most of the testimony today dealt with crime scene investigators and with forensic experts describing the physical evidence discovered in Mallard's vehicle and the fact that Biggs would have survived if given proper medical treatment. This is John Clemens reporting.
Stocks were mixed at the end of trading on Tuesday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average adding 37 points to 9109. The Nasdaq fell 5 points to 1605. On Wednesday, the Federal Reserve Board will announce what is expected to be another cut in interest rates.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
The Rolling Stones aren't letting SARS fears stop their next tour. The Rockers have announced plans to perform an open-air concert in Toronto, Canada next month. Mick Jagger says they want to bring back the energy to one of their favorite cities. Winds gusting up to 40 miles an hour are fueling a monstrous wildfire in southern Arizona. Fire officials fear Mother Nature will send the Aspen Fire around their fire lines, leading to more devastation in the rocky mountainous country. 20,000 acres have been charred so far.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
the moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
For the first time in more than a century, Britain is playing host to Russia's head of state. President Vladimir Putin was given a royal welcome as he arrived Tuesday for a four-day visit in London. Prince Charles greeted him at Heathrow Airport. He was then formally welcomed by Queen Elizabeth. It's looking more and more likely that a recall election of California Democratic Governor Gray Davis will be held. On Tuesday, supporters turned in just under 400,000 petition signatures. Recall spokesman Dave Gillard says another 400,000 signatures are in the pipeline.
We're right on schedule for July. By the time the July report comes out, we will finish turning in signatures, and we're hoping to turn in between 1.2 and 1.3 million.
Davis's supporters say recall organizers are inflating their numbers. It's almost hard to believe, but 20 years ago, .com was born, the idea from a computer science professor at USC who took the numerical codes used for Internet addresses to create the famous system. I'm Mike Scott. And this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Boy, I did it again. Someday they're going to put a talk show host in this time slot who can get the facts right. First, you can't vote now in the MoveOn.org primary unless you had previously registered. There was a lot of time to register. If you had not registered, you can't vote now. You can't register now either. Secondly, the voting goes on until 11:59 Eastern Time, p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow, not tonight. So to the 20 or 30 people who emailed in to straighten me out, thank you very much. But the voting ends tomorrow evening at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you have not registered prior to the beginning of the voting today, then apparently you can't. You know how it goes. You snooze, you lose. However, if you go to MoveOn.org, you can get registered for subsequent polls like this. It's also my understanding that a lot of these whorish, fake, toy news organizations like CNN, MSNBC, C-SPAN are very interested in what MoveOn is doing, and the results of this primary will be publicized to some extent. Okay? Okay. And Bob in Massachusetts emailed in. the comment I made about put Wesley Clark on the ticket someplace, whoever's at the top of the ticket, put Wesley Clark vice president, because the Democrats seem to be constantly hammered about being, quote, soft on the defense, end quote, you know, that BS. Well, Bob says the reason for the, quote, Democrats are soft on defense, close quote, myth is that the Republicans keep saying over and over again. Since World War II, Daniel Ellsberg mentions this myth as one reason why we committed to Vietnam in the first place. And this idea works with anything. As long as you have enough mouths saying it and ears hearing it, the same tactic could devastate Bush, but his so-called opponents won't do it. Say it over and over. Bush lied. Say it over and over. Bush did not defend the nation against September 11th. Say it over and over. Impeach Bush. Good points, Bob. It's amazing to me sometimes how complicit we progressives or Democrats or decent human beings, Republicans are just sheep, they're morons, they're liars, sneaks, cheats, killers, despoilers of the planet. But it's amazing to me how we Democrats can sometimes keep these myths going without realizing what we're doing. Like I probably did, just by bringing it up. But Bob is right. Say instead of saying Democrats are soft on defense, say Bush lied. Say Bush needs to be impeached. Say Bush is a thug. All of which is true. All right, before we go to your calls, got a couple things here I want you to hear. I told you earlier, the dictator of Pakistan, the military dictator who overthrew the last elected government of Pakistan and installed himself as a dictator, that would be Pervez Musharraf, is in Washington to buy weapons from the killer, George W. Bush, from the mass murderer, George W. Bush. He's there to buy weapons, an arms-buying trip to the United States. And because he's been such a Class A ally for the Bush crime family, he will get what he wants, with the possible exception of those 28 F-16 fighter jets that Pakistan bought 13 years ago and the U.S. hasn't released to him yet. But anything else, and he'll probably get those too. So Musharraf is in, he was in Camp David, when, Kathy, last night, today, whatever. Maybe he discovered, just like Tony Blair discovered, that he and Too Stupid to Be President share the same toothpaste. Well, maybe the same toothbrush. Bush and Musharraf probably were talking about the growing efforts between Pakistan and India to reach mutual understanding and peaceful resolutions of their disputes. Can you imagine Bush sitting down in a conversation like that? Kashmir? Yeah, I got a sweater made out of Kashmir. What? What are you talking about? And, of course, Pakistan is the only Muslim country with nuclear weapons. They have never formally recognized Israel's right to exist. So there may be, you know, a little push-pull here, a little give and take. Okay, we'll give you weapons of death and destruction, but you got to pretend like you recognize the existence of the State of Israel. You know, come on, Musharraf, you can do it. Our senior correspondent emailed in this morning. Excuse me? So Pervez is going to be meeting with both Manor Monkey and his daddy? And this is going to take place right there in Camp David? Why not just open up the White House and start selling weapons in the Blue Room? Originally, this meeting was supposed to take place down at the ranch, but Musharraf didn't want to go to Texas. He wanted to meet at the White House. Someone told Bush that they couldn't be seen selling weapons out of the White House. So Moron told Kutu that they could meet at Camp David. But get this, Chris writes, I think it was on C-SPAN's Washington Journal sometime last week, I heard that Musharraf was told that he'd have to find himself a hotel to stay at. He couldn't stay at Camp David. I wouldn't doubt it. Okay, so here they are, the two dictators, the two people who assumed or seized power in a military overthrow of a duly elected government, that would be Musharraf, and one used the U.S. federal judiciary to overthrow the duly elected winner of the last presidential election in this country. A couple of dictators sitting around, getting high, doing whatever. Do you think Musharraf brought him a little bit of that, some of that Pakistani hash, huh, you think? Here they are, why the U.S. has failed to find Osama or Saddam. That's the question a reporter has for Too Stupid to Be President. Now, Bush doesn't answer. He just keeps talking about the hunt. The hunt. It's just the hunt. We're on the hunt. Stay on the hunt. It's a hunt. You know, just like he's been doing for 2 years now. Here's the question. Mr. Bush, Mr. President, in the war on terror that you're engaged in, there are two principles that are still at large. Could you tell us anything about the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden? Is he back in business in Pakistan? And what about Saddam Hussein? Is he back in Iraq?
Well, let me start off. There's more than two principles at large. There are terrorists who are still have designs on destabilizing Pakistan government and or destroying innocent life. You've named two. There are others around, too, and we're just on the hunt. And we'll find them. It's a matter of time. We'll continue on the hunt. It doesn't matter how long it takes.
It could take
a day, or it could take a month, it could take years. It doesn't matter how long it takes, Mr. President. We will stay on the hunt.
Okay, you stay on the hunt. We're on the hunt. We're going to stay on the hunt. We're on the hunt. Now, all right, let's do this. I'll get to Rummy here in a second because you got to hear this. But Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing fine, Tony.
You know, talking about the... I have come up with a good word for the Republicans.
All right, let's hear it. Oh, wait a minute. Can you say it on family radio?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
No problem.
All right,
no problem. You know how, you know, we call ourselves progressives or liberals?
Yeah.
Well, we should call them what they really are.
Sluts, whores, killers?
No. I mean, think about it. What is it that makes America great? What really makes America great is, of course, progress, right?
Yeah.
So, being progressive, that's what we emphasize. Well, you see, they're anti-progressives.
That would be regressive.
Uh-huh.
Call them regressives?
Uh-huh.
I like calling them killers, murderers, liars, cheats, whores, sneaks, thieves. But I like your idea, regressives. Okay.
They're regressives.
Yeah.
I mean, everything we espouse, they are against. So we think progressively, they think regressively. Go back into the past. Oh yeah, it's so much better there. You know,
right.
God knows. I mean, who wants, you know, 6 hour, you know, six, you know, six work, six day work weeks of 14 hours a day.
Child labor.
Child labor.
Yeah, women, take the vote away from women.
Blacks. Hell, you could take it away from, you know, anybody in America who doesn't have property and isn't a white male.
That's true. That's very true. And watch out for the Catholics, too, because, you know, they're worshipers of graven idols, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, of anybody who, other than, you know, the strict Quaker religion.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I get your point, Tony.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
Right.
But about the presidency, you know, I know I did not get a chance to see the interview the other day regarding Howard Dean.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had, but I did not.
On Media Whore number one, Tim Russert's show?
Right.
Right.
But I have seen him on plenty of C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
And the man sounds great. I've listened to him, and I've listened to all the others. Kucinich he's for real. You talk about passion. You talk about getting a crowd worked up.
Right.
Yeah, he's real. But the problem is, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to carry our ticket, at least not directly, at least not at this moment in time. What I think would really work would definitely be Dean. And you mentioned, what's the name of the guy who's the ex-military guy?
Wesley Clark.
Man, he was on, I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did see him. He was on C-SPAN one morning.
Right.
And he was great. I'm just sitting there like, my God, put this man on a ticket. You know, if you run him and Dean, it would be very difficult for the Republicans to win. I just can't imagine anybody voting. Well, I can't imagine anybody voting for him anyhow, but I can't imagine anybody actively voting against either of these men because they're both ultra-intelligent, they both have served their country, and my goodness, what else could you possibly want? They're
well,
wonderful.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I respect your point of view. I could say just as strongly the same thing about a Kucinich-Wesley Clark ticket. Clark brings the military aura to the ticket, and Kucinich, who stands for every single Democratic principle that now understand, I'm only coming at this from my own personal subjective point of view, obviously. I can't be objective. I don't think anybody can ever be objective about anything, that unless you've figured out some way to stand outside your own consciousness. But Dennis Kucinich represents everything that I was taught that is the Democratic Party principles. And here's what I honestly believe, and I do believe this, Tony. If Kucinich can make it through the primaries and get the nomination, that's the catch. If he can get the nomination, I think he and a Wesley Clark, for example, could whip George Bush's bony rich boy ass. I really do believe that. Now, maybe Dean and Clark too. But Dean is just not quite Kucinich. On the other hand, Kucinich is not quite Dean. So, I'm supporting Kucinich now. I know you're supporting Dean. A lot of good folks are supporting
Dean. I will tell you this now, Mike. If Kucinich wins,
hey, let me put you on hold. I'll come right back.
Mass destruction.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on. Rational, and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
you
put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Committed to reducing the amount of nuclear weaponry.
Yeah. All right, back to... Tony. I just disconnected him. All right, Tony, call back in. We'll definitely put you back on the air. I'm sorry for that. I don't know. I'm at 45 RPMs tonight, and the world is at 78, something like that. Mark is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paisan. I haven't called you in a long time. You're hard to get through to now.
Yeah, it's. But that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Hey, I don't want to throw cold water, like I was telling Kathy or whoever I was talking to, on the whole, oh, boy, there's a spark of enthusiasm because of MoveOn.org. I mean, I can feel that spark of, hey, there is something. We have a little teeny bit of momentum. They are going to crush anything that ever, and I'm going to be very negative here, and I'm sorry to anybody who's very, very positive, but look what they did to a perfectly normal, what we thought was a perfectly normal election. They crushed it, and every single, you can pull a dead baby out of a trash can and say, look, here's what Bush did, and if people go, well, I don't understand, I think that's, but he, what we needed
know,
to,
yeah.
because they're
yeah.
not American, or, you know, this... There isn't anything. I mean, we are so far behind. We, the people who are still staying with the principles that Kucinich talks about, I don't think that the poor guy has a chance in hell when the media and the machine just find out who's getting our attention. They will crush everything, and it's going to continue.
But doesn't it provide some hope for you? Because it does for me, that MoveOn.org, now, you have to remember, MoveOn was put together back in, what, 98 or 99. The MoveOn part meant that it's time for the media to move on, get the hell off of the attack on Bill Clinton because he had a girlfriend. So that's how they started. MoveOn.org has gotten to the point now where, I'll be curious to see what the vote totals are. I have a feeling it's going to be over a million. This is a purely effective use of the internet for straight-ahead democracy. Now, I don't advocate democracy in its purest form because, in a sense, that can be mob rule. Democracy has to be tempered with respect for the rights and goals and ideas of that minority who says, well, I'm in the 43% who didn't vote for thus and such. So, you know, you can't have pure democracy, but it's a good bellwether of the attitudes out there. So I think that the MoveOn.org thing is has the potential to be a profound event in the history of electoral politics, because here's something that's organized totally and completely on the internet. It's totally and completely, you have to activate yourself to do it. You have to go through a two or three step process. You've got to be aware of it. You've got to be so pissed off at what's going on in this country that you're willing to take action other than heading for the streets, which may at some point have to happen. But I am so impressed with the use of the internet by MoveOn.org. Do you not see a glimmer of hope there?
I'm very impressed by the innovation. Every once in a while, somebody comes up with a brilliant idea, and progressives and liberals recognize it, and conservatives sit back and go, "Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it." But I'm also very impressed by this. And I thought I was kind of walking around going, "Wow!" I mean, it was actually on CNN, and it was on a couple of other
right.
of these idiotic stations, and they but. But you, I don't know if you watched it. Did you watch it? Did you watch what they were saying about it?
No, I, honest to God, no longer watch television news.
I can't stand more than, I'm telling you, 5 minutes of it, and I used to be this news junkie. But I watched it, and I was going, hey, MoveOn.org, they're actually on the mainstream, and they trashed it. At the end, they said, well, you know that this can be manipulated and that this, I was sitting there thinking the whole thing is a setup. They are going to destroy. It's a giant machine, Mike. The media is a giant machine, and we are like on this great big ship, and it's so big that we think that the left side of the ship is the liberal progressive side, and the right side of the ship are the bad Republicans.
Hey,
and we have been going since August 6, 1945. That's when this whole thing started.
I hear you. Hey, here comes the break.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Left or right. I'm just staying home tonight, getting lost in that hopeless little screen. But
when I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
As the unemployment rate in Iraq continues to worsen, and where by some estimates nearly half the country's populace is already jobless, those without work are running out of patience. More than 15,000 people have joined a new Iraqi union called the Union of the Unemployed in Iraq, or UUI, and it's been in negotiations with U.S. Civil Administration officials over the last 3 weeks, hoping to win jobs or unemployment insurance payments from the new ruling coalition. But the union says talks have stalled. Now they're organizing nationwide protests for July 3rd, which some in the UUI expect could draw well more than 100,000 people.
Need a job? Go directly to jail. City officials in Taunton, Massachusetts have taken a novel approach to tackle a budget deficit. Lay off the city's unionized municipal employees and replace them with shackled prisoners. Taunton city councilors hope the chain gangs will help them replace 50 workers and cut into $3 million of red ink, but Laborers Union Local 1144 has vowed to put a halt to the plan. The union says the practice is not only disgusting, but a violation of its existing contract, which prohibits the city from accepting so-called volunteer labor during a time of layoffs.
Sources within the British Fire Brigade's union say the government may have spied on union members during the nine-month contract dispute, which ended earlier this month. According to the Manchester Guardian newspaper, union officials took great pains to keep their internal communications secure, even going so far as to buy new mobile phones, whose functions were disabled to restrict their ability to call only other phones in the group. Even so, government negotiators always seem to know what the union members were discussing. The FBU says it doesn't have enough evidence to request a formal investigation into the matter, but it's still working to build its case.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Dude. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Well, let's see. I've put out enough false information tonight about MoveOn.org. Hung up on one caller who was just patiently waiting until we came back from the break. All right. Let me try to reestablish some control here do this little bit with Rummy and Richard Myers at the Department of Defense briefing today. As you probably know, a couple of terrible events, six British soldiers killed in southern Iraq, another six or seven injured, an attack on the Brits. The British military has been walking around with no bulletproof vests, no helmets. They having spent centuries in empire, they have a way of relating with the people that they whose governments they've just destroyed and whose regimes they've overthrown. They're better at relating to the WOGs, as they used to call defeated civilizations. Having said that, this is not, Iraq is not, I mean, we're not in the 19th century. This is now. And the Brits and the Americans are walking targets for people in Iraq who've decided, screw this. We don't like what's happened. Six of them, six British soldiers killed today. How is Tony Blair going to explain that? Just like how has George Bush explained the 50 dead American soldiers since he pranced his tight ass around the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln? God, I hate these people. In addition to that, apparently we invaded Syria in the last 48 hours. Pentagon officials said that they're still trying to sort out the facts surrounding this action between U.S. forces and Syrian border guards. Now, this is not the U.S. Army that's involved in this. This is one of those super-secret units that are designed by the U.S. military to do bad things very, very quietly, and then to kind of disappear. It was a firefight. It took place near the Syria-Iraq border. Several Syrian guards were wounded. This was, when was this? Last week. Rumsfeld and Myers were out there today deflecting questions. Remember Rumsfeld said, why does the press have to ask questions? Why don't you just report? Aren't you reporters? Why are you asking questions? Well, they were out there today, the reporters, asking Myers and Rumsfeld some questions about the incident with the Syrians. The Rumsfeld and Myers said, for example, that among the facts known, unknown, I should say, is whether at least part of the clash took place inside Syria. Come on. With global positioning systems, with the U.S. military, with clearly defined borders between Iraq and Syria, and these, deep breath, these people stand out at a Department of Defense briefing and say, well, we're not sure. As Rumsfeld put up, borders are not always distinct in life. I got a border I'd like to take you to, Mr. Rumsfeld. It's the border to hell. Rumsfeld and General Myers declined to say whether American forces had even been authorized to pursue fleeing Iraqis into Syria. Rumsfeld said, as you know, we don't discuss rules of engagement. I've got some rules of engagement I'd like to introduce you to, too, Rummy. All right, having said that and feeling my blood pressure go up and it's too late at night, let's move on to the what they actually said. This is Rumsfeld. I believe it's Rumsfeld. On the bloodiest day in Iraq since too stupid to be president declared mission accomplished, Rumsfeld indicates that this insane war on terror is going to continue a long time. American moms and dads, you're going to continue to get your dead sons back. British moms and dads, you too.
Regrettably, four American soldiers were killed during the past 8 days in Iraq, three in grenade attacks, and another who was shot on guard duty at a propane distribution center. I also want to express sorrow that the British forces have sustained some losses in the past 24 hours.
You don't care.
Their deaths are a sober reminder that while major combat in Iraq and Afghanistan is over, our country and coalition forces remain engaged in a difficult and dangerous war, the global war on terror. That war will not be over anytime soon.
Well, then, you useless fascist son of a bitch, put on a uniform, take a weapon, and take yourself over there, okay? Take yourself into the mountains of Afghanistan. Take your ugly, useless self into the deserts of Iraq. Give these American soldiers a break, Rumsfeld. Give these American parents a little respite, Rumsfeld. Give the British parents a break, you thug, you punk. The way he stands there and as if he's talking about a decline in the wheat market in China. I also want to express sorrow that the British forces have sustained some losses. That's a sober reminder. American soldiers, young men, being shot dead. For what? British soldiers being shot dead. For what? Iraqi civilians being blown to pieces. For what? Answering a reporter's question on the U.S. attack of a Syrian on a Syrian convoy and the subsequent detention of six or seven Syrian citizens, the reporter says, Mr. Secretary General Meyer spoke of aggressive operations to put down opposition in Iraq, and he spoke of the raid last week on this convoy. Has the United States authorized U.S. forces to move into Syria in hot pursuit of suspected former officials? You know, Mr. Secretary of Defense official told us yesterday that there's been no official exchange with the Syrian government over this.
In this instance, I cannot verify that. I know there have been exchanges, and I don't know what your definition of official is.
You
but,
bastard.
But you can't say whether or not, I won't say whether or not the United States has authorized in a hot pursuit situation.
I've responded.
I've responded. Now sit down and shut up, you little punk-ass reporter. Hey, get his name. One of my assistants there, get that reporter's name. I've responded. That punk reporter says, but you can't say whether or not, or won't say whether or not the United States is authorized in a hot pursuit situation. I've responded. Sit down. Shut up, punk. Get his name. Somebody get his name. I'll get his name. Still on the Syrian issue, another reporter wants to know when the U.S. will return the detained Syrians to their home country. The reporter says, 5.5 days later, the U.S. is continuing to hold 5 Syrian nationals, only 3 of whom were wounded. Do you have, Mr. Secretary, I'm still not clear, why you haven't returned these people to their country? Can you please tell us why you have not returned 5 Syrian nationals to their country? Why have they not been returned?
There were a very small number of Syrians, and being held, I don't know, is quite the right word. There were several that needed some medical assistance. They were provided medical assistance, and it will undoubtedly be worked through by the appropriate people in the United States government and the Syrian government.
Yeah, get his name, too. Get his name, too. Why have they not been returned, you little punk-ass reporter? Why are you asking me that? I'm the Secretary of Defense. Don't you know who I am? I'm Donald Rumsfeld. I will chew you up and spit you out. I will make your mother wail about the day you were born. I will bring so much grief into your family, your dog will howl for the rest of its life every night at midnight because of what I'm going to do to you. Get that reporter's name. On Weaponsgate, the lack of any evidence that Iraq posed an imminent threat to the United States or to our soldiers, and the administration add-ons of the word programs when discussing Iraq's supposed weapons of mass destruction. The reporter said, Mr. Secretary, you said there was no doubt before the war that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Programs was the word you used. When I hear you say programs, are you signaling at all that Iraq may not have had actual weapons or weaponized forms of this, but simply the programs to produce them? And where are the shells and the rockets that would have been fired? You know, for the grace of God, hadn't been. But where are they, Mr. Secretary? Speed works both ways. You overcome them, but you should have found something by now if it was such an imminent threat.
We know he used chemical weapons against the Kurds and against the Iranians in the war.
In the 80s.
So he had a country that had these weapons and programs. A country that used those weapons a country that by everyone who had reason to be knowledgeable believed filed a fraudulent declaration to the United Nations. And it seems to me that speaks for itself.
Oh, so we're down to the point now where there may not be weapons or may not be weapons programs. They filed a fraudulent declaration to the United Nations. Well, Rumsfeld, you and your cohort of mass killers couldn't care less about the United Nations. Why are you referencing them now? You don't give a damn about the United Nations. Get that reporter's name. Get that reporter's name. Still on Weaponsgate, another reporter asked this. Mr. Secretary, isn't it possible, now in retrospect, that Saddam Hussein could have destroyed the weapons as he was ordered to do so by the UN?
I have reason, every reason to believe that the intelligence that we were operating off was correct, and that we will in fact find weapons or evidence of weapons programs that are conclusive.
I see. So it's weapons or weapons programs or evidence of weapons programs. And that would be what, you stumbling, bumbling killer? What would evidence of weapons? Oh, the two semi-trailers? Is that it? The ones that the British said, yeah, we sold those to Iraq. They were to force hydrogen into balloons to send them up to help the artillery units gauge how to shoot their shells. Not weapons, certainly weapons of destruction, but not weapons of... Is that what you're talking about, Rumsfeld? Now, very interesting line of questioning in the next two clips about the U.S.-installed so-called interim government in Iraq and control of Iraqi oil. I want you to listen to both of these very, very closely. Mr. Secretary, both you and Paul Bremer have now said that you'd like to see the Iraqi state-owned enterprises privatized. I'm just wondering, at what point does the provisional authority begin to impinge on issues, policy issues, that really should be the sovereign right of another state to make? How can the United States make these decisions? Listen to this.
It can't. What we said is what we'd prefer, and that's true. If you look down from Mars on Earth, you'll find that the countries that tend to be Stalinist and government-controlled all aspects of the economy tend to do a lousy job for their people.
And then he says, now you're quite right. In the last analysis, the Iraqi people will decide what their constitution says. The Iraqi people will elect their government, and they will make those judgments ultimately. Now, what does he mean by ultimately, when we've got a lock on their oil production? So now, if you look down from Mars on Earth, what was it a couple of months ago? If you look down from the moon on Earth, remember that? Sick bastard. Now, same reporter on the same issue adds this. So, Mr. Secretary, with the oil companies, for example, or other companies, you will not take any steps as the provisional authority to privatize any state-owned enterprises?
I didn't say that. I said ultimately the Iraqi people will decide what kind of a political system they want and what kind of an economic system. And as we then move from into an interim authority of some kind, and then with the authority over certain of the ministries going to Iraqis, and then ultimately to a constitution, and then ultimately to some sort of a permanent Iraqi government, at that point they will have free play to do whatever they wish with their country.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that? If this rat bastard doesn't sound like a dictator, a totalitarian, if he doesn't sound like every evil bastard that ever crawled out from under a rock and overthrew somebody else's government and established himself as the dictatorial authority, especially in the 20th century, when it was said, well, now, you know, we're just here to save these people from themselves. Eventually, they, will help them install their own government. Let me just repeat it. I said ultimately the Iraqi people will decide what kind of a political system they want and what kind of an economic system. Oh, really, Rummy? What if they want to become the Islamic Republic of Iraq? How about that? And as we then move from into an interim authority of some kind, and then with the authority over certain of the ministries going to Iraqis, and then ultimately to a constitution, and then ultimately to some sort of a permanent Iraqi government, then at that point, they can do whatever they wish with their country. At that point. Now, what does that mean for us? What it means for the United States? 5, 10, 15 years of an occupying presence of the U.S. military. How many Americans are going to be shot dead? How many soldiers are going to be executed, standing guard at a petrol station or an oil refinery? How many Americans are going to die? So these thugs in Washington can have their power play, can have their oil, can have their control and their dominance and their permanent bases. If you listen to what Rumsfeld says, you understand what they have in mind. This is a permanent deal, folks. And you parents, you young wives who have your men, your sons, your husbands in Iraq, they're going to die. They're going to die. Because that is the nature of guerrilla warfare. People get shot dead. And let me ask you, what are Americans being shot dead for now?
And you or have you abandoned them? From civilians to enemies, bombs can't discern. They just destroy all in their path. Will we ever learn?
One of the big concerns early on was the southern oil fields. And at least in the south, they are secure. And that is positive news for all of us.
How many kids can you kill and send the lower class the bill so you can drive your kids to soccer practice in your SUV?
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24-7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by liquidity, will, and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Well, I did it again. I know a lot of folks are not going to make it on the program tonight. I do apologize. Mike is calling from Rochester, New York. Mike, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks. Man, your producer is outstanding. She put me in the right spot at the right time. I was going to say, have you noticed that we've got folks getting shot and killed every day over in Iraq?
Yes, we do.
You never hear any names.
No.
And it's starting to sound like the weather report. So since we as progressives aren't in favor of the we're anti-war, but we are pro our soldiers because they happen to be our kids.
That's right.
I think what we need to do as progressives now is start getting on the phone and calling the local TV station, and whenever we hear that a soldier has been wounded or injured, we need to say to that station, well, who was that soldier? Where's that soldier from? What's that soldier's name? Because that's what's going to start making it hit home for folks.
Yeah,
when they start hearing names.
That's right. I hate this, to think that young men, 19, 18, 21, 22, are being used once again. Can we say Vietnam? Once again, they're just anonymous deaths. They don't mean anything to these bastards in Washington. They mean something, I truly believe, they mean something to Americans in our hearts, and especially they mean something to the parents, the wives, the sisters, the aunts, the grandparents, you know, and it's just, once again, they're being reduced to nothing. And I hate this. I hate this with every part of my being.
Another and last quick thing. Have you ever, Mike, when you had Rupert on,
mm-hmm.
Rupert's good. We need more of that Rupert guy. We need more guys like Rupert. There's a gentleman who was talking about the effects of depleted uranium. I don't know if you've had him on. He's a Army colonel, if memory serves me correctly. He wrote the protocols for DU cleanup and things like that.
Yeah.
We need you guys to start cross-pollinating. If you can get some guys some other guys who do progressive radio shows, and there's a ton of them over on Pacifica,
mm-hmm.
if you can get on their show, if you can bring them in on your show, this is a good thing because it's gonna expand that whole view, get more people listening, get more people talking, get more people hooked up. Got on the moveon.org. I had registered before, looked at my emails, said, oh, yeah, forgot to vote. Voted real quick, got that done. Yeah, I like Kucinich. I don't care what anybody says. And I guess what I would say to everybody else is don't give up on your guy, whoever your guy is, because
that's right.
the only way your guy is going to get a say in what the platform is going to be and how things are going to happen is if he's got power. And his
power
is your vote.
That's it, exactly. Hey, listen, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, sir, appreciate it. And again, I apologize to those of you who are left on hold here with the program running out of time. We'll get to you tomorrow night. Call back in tomorrow, okay? Don't forget, tomorrow, briefly, 30 minutes, Dennis Kucinich, second hour of the program. Tonight, the program is engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Thanks to Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com, for the website. I'll see you tomorrow. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius.